It always bothers me when people don't turn this on very smoothly, and I'm guilty of it. We'll have to take care of that before they get up here. Judge not. Okay. Tonight I want to talk about the burdens of worship and how our service to God, either as a collective unit, as in our church service here, or our service here, can be a burden, or in our life, and how things can be a burden. Some of the things I want to say tonight, I'm kind of unsure of. They're very close to my heart. They're things that I feel strongly about, and I didn't realize it was going to bother me as much as it does. But I believe tonight I am probably more prepared, but also for some reason I am have more symptoms of being nervous than I have before speaking, and I don't understand the relation there. And I was just thinking maybe it's because I feel strongly about some of them. So I want to start off tonight. The way the lesson is going to go, I want to talk about some examples in the Old Testament when worship was a burden, and then the idea of what the proper burden that we should be bearing, the proper yoke that we should have, and how we might exchange that. And yesterday, Troxel asked me what I was going to speak on, and I really didn't give him much of a clue. I just told him, well, the burden of worship, or something along that line. And there was an article in the Bulletin 2 weeks ago, I believe I quoted a lot of Malachi in that article. And Troxel's article, or he didn't write it, he provided it, he found it. And it seemed to be a lot of the things I wanted to say were mentioned in today's. And it's a very hard reading. I suggest you do read it. I found it a very good writing. It is a little rough to read. The vocabulary is rather large, but it is good. And then Ben this morning was supposed to speak on Let Your Light Shine or something, and he changed to Philemon and ended up speaking on some of the things I want to talk on. So really, this is a really well-coordinated, accidentally, sermons and bulletins today. If turned into Numbers chapter 11, please. Moses is leading the people. You know, Moses, it took him a while, but he eventually did take on the burden of leading God's people, leading the nation of Israel. And he took it on with all the commitment that was proper. But in Numbers 11, verses 9 and following, we find that things have not really gone the way. I want to start in verse 10, excuse me. Then Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families. Throughout their families, every man at the door of his tent, and the anger of Jehovah was kindled greatly. And Moses was displeased. And Moses said unto Jehovah, Wherefore hast thou dealt ill with thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I brought them forth, that they should say unto me, Carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father carrying the suckling child unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? Whence should I have flesh to give unto all this people? They wanted meat. For they weep unto me, saying, Give us flesh, that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of thy hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. Moses had a real problem. He needed to please God. He wanted to be pleasing to God. And he also had this people to take care of, and he felt obligation and duty to them. But he had put himself, he had gotten himself in a situation where that he was taking care of people's needs that he shouldn't have been doing. He had taken on a burden or a job that wasn't the original job that God had called him for. He was listening to their complaints. They wanted him to get him extra food. So it became weary to Moses, to the point at which he just wanted out of the situation. So keep that in mind, the idea of God has a job for us. When we substitute another job, it can become a burden to us. And then we want to reject all of it. And then also I want to read in Malachi. Now Malachi would be the last book of the Old Testament, if you want to turn over there. Easy one to find. Malachi chapter 1. A couple of readings out of chapter 1. Starting in verse 6. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is mine honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear? Saith Jehovah of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. Jehovah is saying, if you call me father, you call me master, where is my due? You offer polluted bread upon my altar, and you say, wherein have we polluted thee? And that you say, the table of Jehovah is contemptible. And when you offer the blind for sacrifice, it is no evil, they say. And when you offer the lame and the sick, it is no evil. Present it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or will he accept thy person, saith Jehovah of hosts? We offer things to God. They were offering things to God, but they didn't see God at that moment. So they could get by at that time by giving a less than perfect sacrifice. It didn't really impact them right then, but they were getting by with something. But now, what the final result of that, though, over here in verse 12, it says, but ye profane it, in that you say, the table of Jehovah is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even its food, it's contemptible. You say also, behold, what a weariness it is, and you have snuffed at it, saith Jehovah of hosts, and you have brought that which was taken by violence, and the lame and the sick. Thus you bring the offering. Should I accept this at your hand? We get by with certain things. We get by with things in our worship, things we offer. The people had gotten by with that. But eventually they came to say, it's weariness. And they just sniffed their nose at this. This is contemptible. This is unacceptable. Why keep doing this? So just as Moses had taken on other tasks, it eventually is going to become a burden. It's going to become wearisome. You're not going to be able to stay with it for the long haul. One more reading out of the Old Testament. I'm going to go to Ecclesiastes 3:10. And I'm going to read from a different translation. We had a series of sermons on Ecclesiastes earlier this year. I have, starting at verse 10 of chapter 3, I have seen the burden God has laid on men. He has made everything beautiful in his time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. God has given us the concept of trying to understand eternity, or we know about eternity. He tells us about eternity, but we really can't fathom it. We run up that in our Bible classes a lot of getting to a point which we really can't understand because our minds and our hearts cannot understand eternity. I know that there is nothing better for men than to be happy and to do good while they live, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil. This is the gift of God. And again, verse 10 is the verse I want to look at there. Remember this verse. I have seen the burden God has laid on men. God has given us a burden. He has given us jobs to do. And we will find happiness and satisfaction if we do the things God has given us to do and not take on other tasks. And one more piece of my text will be from Matthew. This is the last one we're going to get. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Yeah, you're supposed to keep all these in your mind tonight when we get into this stuff. Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus tells them, if you're heavy laden, come and I will give you rest. But then he also says, I do have a yoke and my burden is light. There are things that Jesus has for us to do. We are not to be burdened down with others, but to do Jesus' work. So So I said all that to get to how our worship service can be a burden. In worship service, I mean in the worship service here in the collective unit. I guess these are the things that are tough to say. And I say them in the sense of I want things to get better. I want things to change. I think things can be better. I think we're satisfied with a lot of times, but I think things can be better than they are. And it's not a matter of judging or criticizing or pointing a finger or having hard feelings. Maybe you haven't thought about some of these things. Tonight we are spread out in this building. We are very spread out. And we always sit in the same places, it seems. Now today, Lila and I have moved. Not for this lesson, but we did move today. And I saw Karen sitting in our pew earlier. I thought maybe they had her lusting after it, but it remains open. But the idea of we remain isolated in a sense. We stay in the same places. We get to know the same people, and we don't really know everybody in the congregation. I have a tendency of doing that, of talking to the same people I know and not reaching out. A year or so ago, I wrote an article about the idea of this being kind of a theater, of coming here and then leaving, maybe even coming in late, but getting in there and then leaving and going back our own ways, and we really don't interact with each other. Or we tend to interact with the same ones, as in a school. When you go to school, a lot of times you had assigned seating, but like as not, you ended up sitting in the same seat each class. And you tended to know the same people or the same people around you, and you didn't really grow. You knew that person, you recognized them, you knew who they were, you probably knew their name, you knew how they did on a test, you knew some things about them, but as far as anything deep or concern or care or being able to show anything or feel for that person when they're hurting, it's impossible. Is it wrong to spread out? No, it's not. Could things be better if we sat together? Have you ever been to a congregation that has the building is a little too full for the amount of pews? It's kind of hot sometimes, but you do get a sense of being with other Christians, of being together. You can just say, there's little things you can say to each other or hear each other sing. There's small things that can be had in a worship service that are of the nature of a fellowship that would bring us closer together as a unit. You may not believe it, you may not want to move, but that is the truth. Another thing that Spring Sprout does is our singing is not as good as it could be. Is that the case? I believe it is. Maybe it's because smaller buildings doesn't sound as cavernous, but I notice, depending where I sit, it sounds like there's no one behind me. I don't hear anybody singing. That we have voids in the building. We could encourage each other better. Is it good enough? Are the offerings we're giving to God, are they good enough? Are they good enough now? Will years of this, will they eventually become contentious to us? Will we say, I don't care for the singing down there. It always sounds this way. Could we make it better? Are you offering the best? Perhaps you're too tired to concentrate. A lot of times, I'm very tired on Sunday morning. It's hard to stay awake. And that's probably due to doing other things in this world, being tied up in other matters, and then ended up doing the bulletin either late on Saturday night or early Sunday morning. And I feel a lot of times I've expended myself by the time Sunday morning gets here. I'm not offering the best I can to the Lord. I'm giving him something that's good enough. I'm getting by with it. You don't know how I feel. You don't know how tired I am at all. Does the Lord's table become something I would sniff at? Let's talk about what goes on up here on the podium. The sermons or lessons we get in our classes, are they as good as we should be receiving? If the sermon or lessons in your class are not profitable to you, that's okay occasionally, now and then. If it's a continual thing, if you notice the same pattern and you say, I'm not getting what I need here, what do you do about it? Do you just stay quiet and say, is this something a problem with me? What if there's someone else that feels the same way? Well, we're spread out, we're isolated, we really don't know how each other feels. That should not be the burden that you have to bear. The idea of coming to the worship service is to be a joyous time. And just as Moses or the others we read in the Old Testament, you don't want to put up or suffer or make that to say, well, I can take it. Because eventually, after years of that, you're going to say, something's not right here, I'm tired of it. And if you have a problem now, you need to address the problem now rather than waiting for years down the road and possibly, you know, losing interest and jeopardizing your soul. So what can we do? What's our possible ways of action? What are things we can do? Well, the first and foremost one I have is nothing. We can do nothing, and you do nothing if you're happy or contented. Then there's really nothing to do. If you're getting what you want now, and you're giving the best, or you're giving all you're willing to give, then there is nothing you can do to change. But those that sow sparingly will also reap sparingly. And no one will admit to saying, I don't want to change. There's nothing I could do better. No one will admit to that. But think of your life and your actions and the way you live. Is that what you're admitting in your life? Is that I'm not going to do anything more than what I'm doing now. If the songs don't move you or don't uplift you or give you some sense of a joyful worship continually, if that's the case, then something has to be done. You need to do something. You need to take action. If it's one particular song leader or a particular song or something that's going on, you must do something. Because the burden that God has given us, as we said in Ecclesiastes, the burden that God has given to man, or Jesus' yoke that he's given us, is not to endure time and again a worship service that we're not enjoying. If we're not joyous here, we're not enjoying it, that is not the burden or the cross that we are to bear. That is not the work, that is not the sum total of our worship or our life in Christ. And that's what one of the things the article addresses in today's bulletin is the idea of there are good things to do in this world, but we cannot substitute those for actually living the life that Christ has for us, taking his yoke. Staying awake or fighting to attend is, how will you solve that problem? What action can you take? Maybe you're falling asleep tonight during my talk. I don't know. But here's something I've got for next week. Karen and them have asked us over for dinner for Saturday night. I was kind of shaky on it, okay? I was kind of shaky on the commitment there. And as it turns out, we went to the museum this weekend, and there's a film next Saturday night also that I want to see. I don't know if it's James Brown. I don't know how many of you here are James Brown fans, but it is a James Brown retrospective from 64 to 68. It's at the museum. The museum only shows films one time. So it's not a deal. I could go another night. Museum is a one-shot deal. It's a very nice theater, very high-quality films typically. Usually cheap, too. But they have one at 7:30, they have one at 9:45. Okay, so I can't go to the 7:30 because we're going to go there for dinner. So I'm thinking, how can I get to the 9:45 show? I've already got this planned out. Okay, now I go, it's at least 2 hours, that's 9:45. That means I don't getting home, pay me to around midnight. Now, if I haven't done the bulletin yet, I'm going to be doing the bulletin, Leela or I will be doing the bulletin late. So I know right now I'm going to be tired next Sunday morning if things go as planned. But wait, there's a singing next Sunday afternoon at Rosenberg at 2:30, but I can always get a nap in the afternoon. But now there's a singing I could go to, and it's within driving distance, and we've been to Rosenberg for singings before and for meetings. So do I cut out the singing and the fellowship? I would get there, take my nap, which is an effect of the movie the night before. I don't know. I really want to see the film. How would you handle that? What things in this life are you willing to give up? Things that you really enjoy. You might not enjoy this, but things that you would enjoy, what are you willing to give up and put aside to endure a worship service? Another wrong burden that we take on, this is the last one, a major one I want to hit, is the idea of the wealth of this country. We live in a very rich country. We have many things. We have many wonderful, nice things. We have opportunity to go see quality movies. And even though we call these blessings from God, they can become snares from Satan because we are trapped in these things. But we can continually thank God for the blessings we have in this life, but it seems that sometimes we can be really trapped in these blessings that we receive, wanting more and more, always insatiable. One of the things our wealth allows us is insurance. We have home insurance, something goes wrong. We have health insurance, we have burial insurance, we have car insurance, we have nursing home insurance, we have salary insurance where I work, where in case you lose your job, they'll have a way they can continue paying your salary. I'm totally self-provided for. I'm taken care of. Something goes wrong, I call up Mr. Tilton, Mr. Frank Tilton. He'll just take care of me. I've become self-reliant. We have retirement accounts. We have retirement. I have IRAs. We got 401ks. We got CDs. They aren't doing too good, but you got all kind of ways to provide for yourself in the future. So even in this life, we're providing for our own selves. Not only am I self-reliant today, I'm taking care of myself when I retire 30 or 40 years down the road. Could I be taking care of somebody else now? I'm taking care of myself in the future. We have doctors, professionals, we have hospitals, HMOs, consultants, people that we can pay for their advice. People that we would trust in, we were going to get their advice. What's left for the fellowship here? What need do we have that is to be met by the family of Christ? If we're so self-contained, what do we depend on each other for? Well, we have the preparing of the Lord's Supper. We got who's going to speak tonight. And a majority of the things we depend on each other for, it turns out, I believe, is running the church here. It's running the operation that we have here. Not that they're wrong, but that we need to depend on each other for other things than just making sure the building is running okay. So if we replace just taking care of the house here with actually the work of Christ, this actual yoke or the actual burden, it is going to become wearisome, it is going to be contemptible to us. We are going to eventually turn it down in its value. It becomes down in its value in the sense that now I'm equating, do I go to a movie or do I hit the church? Or maybe I get out a little bit early and get to a ball game? Because we've reduced the value of it because we don't have a need for it, in which we start equating it with other things in the world. And it becomes harder and harder to choose. Another thing of becoming self-reliant is I'm self-reliant. I don't get sick very often. That's a blessing, I guess. I have insurance. I'm able to take care of myself. I have a good job. It's hard for me then to understand why others aren't in the same position. I've become less sensitive to others. I'm not that great of a guy. If I can do all these things, why can't the next guy? Why is that person always needing some help? You become less sensitive by being self-reliant. But we're not unique in this world. The idea of being self-reliant and being taken care of ourselves does not come from being a member of the Church of Christ or going to Bel Air. That's a feature of being in this country, being in this day and age. That's what it's like to be an American. I don't mean that from the Republican standpoint. That's not the idea there. But the idea of the goals and ideals we have in this country is to become taking care of yourself. And that then becomes an impediment to converting people, because what need do they have for the Christ, for the gospel of Christ? They are taken care of, they're living for the here and now, they're taking care of themselves, and that is one of the reasons it's difficult to convert people, is that they're not looking for anything. They are satisfied. We're a satisfied people for the most part. And that's one of the ways that the blessings can become a snare. So if there's something going on here you're not happy with or you don't like, that is not the concept of bearing a cross for Christ is putting up with it. That is not it. Christ has things to do for you. If your sum total of living for Christ is coming to the church building here, that is not the burden or yoke Christ has for you. He has more than that for you. That shouldn't be a yoke. And in my case, I guess the bulletin has become that way. Lee and I were talking about this. It has become wearisome to do the bulletin. And it's a drag. And why is that the case? I believe it's the case because that's all we've been doing for quite a while, and that is the extent of our effort for Christ. And that's not the real work for Christ. And it becomes a time, a schedule, I got to get it out, got to get it out, got to get it out. That is not the burden that God had in mind for me. That is not the work He had in mind for me to have joy in. I should be doing more than that, and then the bulletin becomes less important in the overall scheme of my worship. So, we're not going to exchange the real yoke then for the burden of something else. The burden of possibly singing or preaching or whatever you do here. That is not your burden. I want you to read that sheet that we handed out today. If that is the extent of your duty or your offering, that's all you're offering, then you will eventually become to see the Lord is contemptible. If you've taken on the wrong burden, or you're in bondage to sin, which is another way of being in burden, we need to throw off those burdens and take on Christ's yoke. I'd like to close out by reading a couple of passages. And one of the main ones is in Timothy, 1 Timothy 6. This morning, Ben was there, and that was a good reference for this sermon. Charge them, chapter 6, 1 Timothy, starting in verse 17, charge them that are rich in this present world, that they be not high-minded, nor have their hopes set on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, that they be ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on the life which is life indeed. And that last phrase there of laying hold on life which is life indeed, like think of that in the idea of throwing off the burdens, false burdens, and take on the burden that is indeed the true burden that we are to bear. And then in Revelation chapter 14. Starting in verse 11. I really don't want to read, but I'll read verse 11. the smoke of their torment goeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day and night. The idea that Christ has given us a burden and a toil in this life. We look for a rest later on. Hebrews talks much about the rest that he has prepared for us. Those who do not receive that, they toil forever and ever. Then in verse 12, here is the patience of the saints, that they keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow with them. So as in Ecclesiastes, when he said, I have seen the burden God has laid on men, and I know there is nothing better for men than to be happy and to do good while they live. These are the works that God has for us. That's the burden God has for us, doing good and being happy and doing good, not in enduring something that we have made for ourselves. I hope I've been able to express what I wanted to say tonight. I don't know if I got it across or not. I do encourage you to read the letter today and think about these things and see what we can do to give a better offering to God so that we can avoid getting sick of coming here. We can avoid being tired of it, being contemptible, something we sniff at. Think on these things, and if you need to come, now it's time.
Find rest unto like a song. His yoke's a burden ever, 'tis easy all day long. Come unto me, be laden, and I